Okay, recording is on. Welcome everybody to our Thursday Bible study with our special guest, Mike Dwight, assisted by Paul Lutcraft, who you all know. And Paul will now, I think, introduce Mike a little bit.
Okay, yeah, I'll just say a little bit. You'll get to know more about Mike as he starts to speak and share. Mike's a very good friend of mine from the King's Church in Chesham. And so I've known him for years and years and years. We often get together to chat about things, sort a few things out. But Mike's main reason for coming here is because of his missionary experience, being on the mission field in Southeast Asia for decades and decades. And it's within that context that the Lord's been speaking to him and giving him some important things to share on this topic of becoming an overcomer. And I've asked him to do this in one or two other contexts, church groups and non-church groups. So I thought, what a splendid opportunity as we gather again after the break for the conference to have 3 evenings on this, so that we can really pick up everything that he wants to share on this. And he will do it in an interactive way. He will stop from time to time for questions and comments, and then you'll be able to put your hand up and unmute yourselves and all the usual things. We'll see how far we get today and then pick it up next week and the week after. So I think that's enough for me. Mike, if you'd like to start.
Okay. Thank you very much. Good evening, everybody. It's really good for the opportunity just to share with you this evening and to future evenings. And right at the beginning, I want to just lay down a few things from my perspective, which I hope will help you. I'm firstly sharing at a personal level, a personal journey that I've been on for a number of years. As Paul mentioned, I've been a missionary in Far East for 40 years, particularly planting churches in Thailand, and then having oversight responsibility of church planting in 9 countries in Asia, including China. And so the experience I've had has been birthing something within me, and especially in more recent days. I want to be clear that I'm not saying I've achieved being an overcomer. I don't think I could say that. I don't think anybody could say that unless it's posthumously. I've not graduated. I've been discovering and being challenged by circumstances and by, of course, the Word of God and by the ministry of the Spirit of God to me personally at this level. And I want to share from two aspects. Being a missionary, I do it for two sides, to help others and, of course, to challenge myself. And that's very much a Pauline strategy. He says in Romans 15, 18 about what I'm sharing is being processed through me. And that's the way I want to come about this time together. It's something that being processed in me, and something is being challenged within me. And I think this has been crystallized over these last probably 2 to 3 years. I normally have a conference with Chinese people every January and February in the Far East. And it was one of these times that we were visited by the PSB, that is the Political Security Bureau, the secret police. And I began to understand a little bit at that time of the kind of pressure that they're put under, not just for 1 or 2 days or a conference period, but as a lifestyle. And I found that incredibly humbling and certainly challenging. And when I was in India last year, this time, in fact, last year, teaching at a conference just outside Delhi, the Lord challenged me because the people I were teaching were those who come off drugs, particularly ex-drug addicts who are now taking responsibility of helping others know Jesus in a personal way and also have some leadership responsibilities. And during that time, I was really challenged at this level. And the Lord said to me, how responsible are you in your teaching. And that really was came to me very powerfully, is almost to say, what is the most important aspect to you in your teaching and in the ministry that I have given to you at this time? And of course, as I was looking out into the audience, I was seeing those I knew had come off addictions of different kind, particularly heroin and other things like that, and seeing a transformation of life. And of course, we all rejoice at that moment. That's a tremendous thing. But the Lord was saying, yes, but what is their future? They're rejoicing now, but what are you putting into them that will enable them to finish well? And I began to see within this context three different phases that I was being challenged on to bring in a new way. Certainly within the Battelle, that is the ministry that I've been responsible for at the moment in a teaching way, with these people coming out of addictions of all kinds and helping them to understand three stages, what it is to go from an unbeliever to a believer, from a believer to a disciple, and then a third category, which we will develop a bit later, a disciple to an overcomer. At each stage, asking three questions. What truths do I need to know and receive? What experience do I need to embrace and live by? And what obstacles and challenges do I need to be aware of and overcome? And I found these extremely challenging at a personal level. And for the last 6 or 8 months, I've been looking at this. And particularly during these three evenings together, we'll be looking at that phase from a disciple to an overcomer. But I want to start with something that's just one verse that Paul, writing to the Ephesians, chapter 6, verse 10, he says, finally, be strong in the Lord. So if I have a goal, it's not to bring over some theological point of view. It's not anything more than this is my goal during these three evenings together, that you and I, by the grace of God, will finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And that is the purpose of what I'm sharing tonight and certainly on the further two occasions. Paul is a tremendous example of this. He's both an encouragement and equipping. And this is the focus that I want to show. It's for you, it's for me, but it's also for us to help others and to introduce some of the truths we'll be sharing with others who may be struggling or may not understand or appreciate them. So be strong. Obviously, you know, and I know that in the scriptures, that's a command. It's not an option. It runs right the way through scriptures. And it's often in the context of do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. Do not be troubled. Do not fear. Do not be anxious. It's often that the command to be strong is in this context. Be strong, especially when facing a challenge that we may is far too big for us, or a responsibility that we feel totally inadequate to fulfill. Just think with Joshua, right back in the Old Testament. Joshua, after Moses' death, reflecting on the promises of God and then realizing he's got to take up to 2 million people through, across the river, across the Jordan, and cross into the land, and realizing, wow, this, who am I? That kind of challenge. And of course, that word came to Joshua, be strong and be courageous. In fact, he emphasizes, be very courageous. So it's when we're facing, and you know, and I know, this year has been a kind of year like that. And it may continue for quite a while yet, we do not know. But the challenges that we're facing are certainly far, far different to those that we ever thought we would. Not just in the physical, but in the spiritual aspect. and the challenges that are coming to us as we face day to day in the world that's changing so much. And so when we're coming to this, it's facing the unexpected, the unwanted, and those things we're totally unfamiliar with. And the one thing about being a missionary, and certainly reflecting over the years, you're certainly put into situations that you never thought you would. Totally outside your comfort zone, totally outside your experience zone, and totally outside your understanding zone. And it's in times like this that God begins to teach us what it is to be strong. And ultimately, no matter what situation we face, to be an overcomer. Generally within church, especially in Asia, which I'm more familiar with actually than back in the UK, often the tendency is to take topics that people want to hear, what they find attractive, what will make church appealing, be a drawing card for numerical growth, and et cetera, or this triumphant sort of church look. And often there are certain subjects and topics that are put to one side. And I have a feeling that when we're facing with the whole topic of overcoming, there are aspects of this that we'd really prefer not to tackle. But such is the crucial nature of this topic that we will need to face things. And I've been so grateful for my Chinese colleagues in particular, who've helped me to see a lot more than I could possibly have seen through my natural means, and helping the understanding of that. So the challenge that's come to me is, Mike, how will you finish? And to be honest, a lot of the time I've not really thought about that in ministry. I'm so rejoicing in the moment, the ministry of the moment, that I have to admit that I have not been responsible in teaching and in sharing and in demonstrating what it is to finish well. And that being the most crucial aspect to me at this moment, as we face the unexpected, the unfamiliar, the unwanted, with all the particular challenges, yes, that a pandemic may bring. And so in that introduction, I just want to say that the starting point, I want to bring us to a starting point, which is not necessarily at this moment understanding what it is to be an overcomer. I want to put overcomer in the context when we're talking about the Christian life. You know, and I know, it's not just a decision that has been made for Jesus. It's much more than that. It's not just a prayer that's been prayed a number of years ago, or a baptism that we had way, way back there. Important though these things are, it's not just even the time when we were brought into the membership of the church. These are all very important times. And I don't minimize the importance of this. But if we think of a Christian faith, what do we liken it to? That's what I want to think through just for a moment, particularly as we look in scripture. I think it's a crucial question, because the answer to that will reveal whether the topic of being an overcomer is relevant or not. Obviously, from my perspective, it is. And as I look through the scriptures, and as I've been looking through these last phase of my life, I've been discovering something. What is it? And that may be a question you might just think. What is it that symbolizes to you what the Christian faith is all about? Is there anything particular that comes to mind? And there could be many different answers to it. There's not just one answer, but as one particular facet of this that obviously to me has been very important, whether it is to you or what, if you've got a contribution, what is it, do you think? Is there something that comes to mind for you?
So we're opening this up to people now to answer that or to share on how they view the Christian life. What does it mean to them? What's the best sort of imagery or metaphor for it, I guess? So if you want to say something, you want to put your hand up. How would you best describe the Christian life for you? What is it, if you biblically as well? Is there anybody?
Relationship.
Ah, is that Audrey?
Yes.
Yeah, go on, just say it again a bit louder for all of us.
I think she's
relationship.
Relationship. Okay, yeah. Important. Lucille and Roger. You there, Lucille, Roger, one of you? You're still muted, you'll have to...
Is that better? Can you hear
me? Yeah, I can hear you now, yeah.
A rehearsal for eternal life.
Okay, interesting, yeah. Gary and Fiona next, and then Betty.
Yeah, I was just really thinking what Mike was saying, and for me it's about becoming weary in well-doing as the as burdens have mounted over the years.
Yeah, thank you. Betty, next.
It's service, I think, for me.
Okay, serving others and the Lord, presumably.
Yeah, just service in general.
Service in general, yeah. Yeah, not just sitting back, but actually getting stuck in and involved. Yeah, Lynn and then Jackie.
It's seeking to put God first in our life above our own wants and needs and desires in all matters.
So dying to self and learning to love God primarily, yeah. Jackie?
I was basically going to say a disciple of Jesus, but I mean, I don't know if that's the language you want, but a follower of Jesus, a disciple.
To go on following, in other words.
Yep.
Be a lifelong follower, not just a decision maker, but a lifelong follower. Yeah. Okay, anyone else thought of anything?
John Rogers.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, John, I see your hand gone up. But yeah, go on, John.
A struggle.
You see it as a struggle at times, yeah. Okay, a fight.
All the time.
Yeah, okay. An ongoing... All the time. Yeah, good point. We've got a couple more now. Owner, Jeremy?
Yeah, doing my father's will and not what I want to do.
Yeah.
Believing in the one whom the Father sent, believing in Jesus.
Yeah. I think a lot of these are summed up in relationship terms, aren't they? Which is good. Okay.
Miriam Baker.
We're his representatives, ambassadors.
Right. So being Christ-like here on earth, yeah.
And Amanda Hale.
Did you say Amanda?
Amanda Hale, yeah.
Can't see her, but there's John and Rose after that.
Sorry, I'm trying to unmute myself.
Amanda, there you are.
Oh, yeah.
We still can't really hear you, I don't think.
Yeah. I'm unmuted.
Yeah, try again.
Is that better?
Yeah.
I say it's really good to see so many believers. I live a very lonely and isolated walk as an intercessor at the moment. I see the Christian life in a very visual way of like a mountain journey. So the closer you get, the harder it gets. And obviously the mountain being closest to heaven as well.
Right.
And people, like, when you become a Christian, you're at the bottom of the mountain generally, in terms of your walk with Christ. And then at various points as you're climbing the mountain, you're going to get battered by winds and rain and hail and snow. And then there are clefts in the mountain in which people hide at various points. And there are other times when it feels like you're soaring up the mountain because you've got a massive rush of energy or it's a bit flatter to walk. But most of it is a real arduous climb with a lot of, you know, things to battle on the way, you know, animals, right. And, you know, all sorts of kinds of stuff.
I think you've got that well thought through, actually. But a summary would be just sort of a journey, but yeah. A difficult journey, like some people have said. We'll just take one more from John and Rose.
I feel there's no alternative. Once you know the truth, there can be no turning back.
Good point. Okay. So part of this journey and following thing is being a follower of the way, isn't it? You're now on the way. So I think that's a good point to hand back to Mike, because I'm sure he's going to develop that in the next bit of what he's going to share with us. So if you can mute yourselves again, please, just to avoid any background noise while Mike says the next bit.
Okay. Thank you for those contributions. Of course, they're all right. There are so much. It's so broad, and depending on your personal circumstances, the challenges you've been in, etc., you're going to have different aspects. And I think everything that's been shared has been is very valid. It's woven together. But the thing that comes to me particularly, Amanda sort of touched on it a little bit, or not just a little bit, quite a bit, is the whole concept of a journey. And of course, you know, this is God's desire that we experience and travel on probably the greatest journey anybody could travel on. I mean, if you're going from one extreme, if you think without hope and without God, to the other extreme of seeing him face to face. I mean, that is just an enormous privilege and journey to be on. There can be nothing better or more exciting, or indeed more challenging. And I think over the last two or three years, I've really honed in on this whole idea of a journey. And of course, as you look through the scriptures, it is woven right through the Old Testament and in the New Testament. And you will know this, Genesis 12, Abraham stepping out in faith to leave behind the land of his ancestors and to go to a place chosen by God. He didn't know where he was going. It was a journey he was going to travel on. And of course, later on in Exodus 14 onwards, about the 40-year journey of the people of Israel from harsh captivity in Egypt to the promised land. And of course, during other aspects of the Old Testament, you have the pilgrim setting out to travel back to Jerusalem. And the people of Jerusalem returning, journeying home after their long period of exile in Babylon. You get this sense of journey, which comes very strongly through. And as Paul alluded to a minute ago, of course, in the New Testament, in Acts 9:2, that's what the early church were called. They were those who belonged to the way. They were on a journey. That means to say they'd started and they hadn't arrived, but they were seen as travelers on their way to glory, to heaven. And it's this concept, which of course, Pilgrim's Progress, of course, brings that out, doesn't it? The hometown, the city of destruction, right through to the celestial city, the city, heaven. And you've got this massive journey. And that's the journey that you and I are on. And thinking of Christian life as a journey has been very helpful to me, because it offers me this vivid and very helpful way of visualizing the life of faith. It reminds me where I'm going somewhere. I've got to think ahead. I've got to look forward. I've got to anticipate the joy of that arrival. I've also got to be responsible in the here and now for my life, trusting that one day I'll finally be with God and see the Lord face to face. The goal of that journey is our destination of actually being with him and being with him and seeing him face to face. And so this New Testament picture, I believe, is one that Paul, through his teaching, brings out very clearly. But I want to make a distinction. Is this journey a race or is it a ride? And depending on your thoughts, it makes the whole idea overcoming either unnecessary or essential. Let me explain. If it's a ride, I just get on and it takes me automatically to my destination. It makes the whole, and I can relax. Life is a breeze, knowing that this conveyor belt of faith will take me home. Is that a New Testament perspective? or is it a race? Which it brings a totally different challenge to us. For that, I need to train, I need to prepare, I need to sacrifice, I need to have a plan and a focus. I need to embrace discipline and self-control. I need to be patient and persevere. With the constant thought, I don't know whether you've ever been a runner in race, I did it many, many years ago. The constant thought, especially on these horrible races we used to have at school, will I ever finish? Or will I drop out through fatigue? Or be tempted to give up? Or because of the opposition, somebody stopped me from running? And of course, when I was thinking of the verse that comes back very clearly, and Paul teaches about this, is very clearly in Paul's perspective and the New Testament, it is a race. It's not a ride. And therefore, overcoming becomes very, very important. You look at the schedule that Mo Farah has in order to achieve his Olympic gold. That was not a ride. That was extreme in terms of preparation, in terms of sacrifice, being away from his family for months at a time, of discipline, of self-control, with the one focus on winning the prize. And Paul, of course, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he brings this out, doesn't he? He said, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? And then he says, what are we to do? He said, run. That's our responsibility. And that's what he was teaching the Corinthians. Run in such a way as to do what? To get the prize. It's not to run aimlessly. He goes on, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to win a crown that will not last. We do to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run, and that's a challenge for me. I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. I beat my body and make it a slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified from the prize. And that's amazing. This is the Apostle Paul opening up his heart to the Corinthians and making it very clear to them that this prize is not automatic in terms of I can do whatever I like and still receive it. He said there's a discipline, there is a race, there is something. And later on, of course, to the Philippians in chapter 3:14, he says exactly this, doesn't he? You remember, I press on toward the goal, what? To win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. And this is the point that really spoke to me. And I just share with you that the Lord really challenged it. Mike, it's not just about effective ministry, seeing churches grow. And thankfully, we have seen that in the Far East. Churches grow and multiply. It's not just about that, although that's encouraging. But it's more about this. Will they, at the end of the race, be there to receive the prize? And as I look back and as I share, I have to say there is encouragements and discouragements. I think of churches we planted in Northwest Thailand. The church grew up to nearly 100 people. And then when I revisit back a few years later, there's about 20. And I try to discover, well, what's happened? Well, the pressures of Buddhism, the pressures of living, the pressures of this, that, and the other is squeezed. And I now find that one of those that I thought was a keen and been baptized and definitely had received the Spirit of God was now back as a monk in the temple. Great challenge to me, really humbling, searching my heart and saying, Lord, I'm so sorry that I didn't really put before them clearly the race, the journey that God wanted to, in order for them to win that prize. And so that to me was a great challenge, but I just want to clarify one thing, because sometimes, and I know when I've taught this, somebody has said, well, running the race, it sounds, Mike, like you're competing one with the other. And of course, in a race, you do just that, don't you? You run the race to win, but only one gets the prize. So what was Paul really saying? He was saying this, that we're not running against one another, because you know from Paul's teaching in the New Testament, he talks about encouraging one another, spurring one another on, helping one another, praying for one another, bearing one another's burden. So it's not a competition. But he's saying this, and this I believe is run with the determination to win the prize. Run with the same determination and focus of an Olympic gold medalist. And that, I think, is something that the Spirit of God is challenging me on. And I believe many of us at this particularly challenging time. Run, how are we running this race? With this same determination that Paul is mentioning here? In other words, to be disciplined, to sacrifice, to beat this body, to fight all that would seek to detract me from walking with Jesus and following along the way. Run with determination not to be disqualified. I find that quite amazing that Paul would actually say that I will not be disqualified from the prize. I mean, I did think, if ever there was a person who shouldn't be disqualified, it's certainly the Apostle Paul. That's true. I mean, he's such a role model of ministry, a role model of walking with Jesus, a role model of ministry in the Spirit, a role model in every way. And yet he was humble enough to recognize, hey, I've just got to keep going because I don't want to be disqualified. And I can imagine the Corinthians saying, what, you, Paul? Surely not you. You can't be disqualified. Look what you're doing. Look what you're doing in the churches and the teaching. And Paul was saying, for me, I'm running that race. I'm aiming at not to be disqualified. I want to be there. And this is the challenge that God is facing me with. And I wonder if he's facing you. I think probably many of you, and I certainly know many churches, and I'm in contact with them in the Far East, they are going through similar challenges. And perhaps I'll share a little bit about the Chinese church and some of the lessons I've learned from them a little bit later. You see, we're there to encourage one another, and that's really why I'm sharing this evening. It's not to impart knowledge. If that was that, you would turn to Paul, not me, because he's got far more knowledge and understanding. My role and my missionary role is encouraging, to come alongside, to share the truth that's going to set you free and to give you the hope and the vision to keep running to the end and persevering to the end. But you see, I can do that, but actually faith is individual. I can't run on somebody else's faith. I can't run on somebody else's understanding and commitment. Faith is individual and personal. It needs to be true for me. And so what I'm rediscovering and saying to the Lord, thank you for all the years. Thank you for what the way I've come and the way you've led me and the ministry that you've given to me. But for me, I want this to be true for me now. truth that's transferred from my mind to my heart and to my daily living. A faith that personal action and obedience that's birthed from this personal relationship with Christ. And in that sense, I want to run to win the prize. But I think Paul was saying, and he says to us, you know, that's a choice that we make. And it's a very serious choice to run with the sole aim of receiving the prize. Everything else pales into insignificance. I think that's what Paul would say. And I want to say that too, by faith. I want to say that too. And I want to say that on behalf of my friends in Asia, be they in Thailand or Bangladesh or India or Burma or Vietnam or Cambodia or China, I want to be there as an example. Run the race. And at the same time, Paul says, I fight and I box because there's an opposition. And what this does, it proves the ground of whether Christ is in me or not. And I think Paul would say this, 1 Corinthians 15:10, he says this, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I've worked harder. He's labored, he's boxed, he's fought, he's run, he's disciplined. I've worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that's in me. So he's not saying, look at me, I can do it. He said, this is the grace of God. This is the Spirit of God living in me. But I tell you what, I'm going to do my part. I am going to fight. I'm going to box. I'm going to run. I'm going to be diligent. I'm going to discipline. For grace is the race. And Paul later says, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith and that Christ is in you. So what is the test? I believe Paul would say the test is this. Am I running the race? And that race is the focus of my life and not a part-time hobby. And so this issue of race or ride, and you can see and you will know and I will know of the temptations we have had just to make it a ride. Almost exhausted from running the race. I sense in my spirit, there's a new breath of the Spirit of God coming upon those who are weary and tired at this time when they cry out to God. There's a new breath of life coming. You and I need that. The second wind. Any marathon runner will hit the wall. And as a Christian, we hit the wall time and time and time again. And we feel like giving up. And these verses come back to me. Mike, run the race. And as you pick up and start to run, a new breath of life will come. A new parting of the Spirit of God will come. And that is my prayer for you. And it's my prayer for myself. Not that I have already obtained, Paul would say in Philippians, or I've already made it, far from it. But I tell you this, and this I think is the secret to all, I press on. I press on. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of me. Run to obtain, run to be safe, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'll stop at this point because there may be something that you want to share. There may be something that you just want to reflect upon. But to me, this is a very crucial stage. And something that is so important, and I trust that something of what I'm saying is just finding a relevance and a yes in you.
But you thanks, Mike. We'll do just that. We'll look for some more questions and comments. Just to say that Kitty is very kindly putting in the chat some of the texts that Mike is mentioning. So if you don't always pick them up, you go to the chat and you'll find that Kitty is somehow finding them and copying them in, which is thanks to him. Well, you're thinking what to say, because there's a lot there to take in, and we'd love to have some testimonies and thoughts of your own on this. I'm sure you've got the main point. I go back to school sports day, and I mean as a teacher, wasn't one of my favourite days in the calendar. Some kids looked forward to it immensely because they could show off what they could do, but everybody had to take part. And there was always some poor kid who was forced to take part in the 1500 metres, and he finished about a lap behind everybody else, but he got a big cheer. Okay, everybody else was cheering him on. It didn't matter, you know, he got there in the end. He didn't give up.
That was you, was it?
Sorry, Steve, you're saying?
I said, was that you?
No. I was a teacher at this point.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, school sports day when I was a teacher, everybody had to take part in something, and you knew that some of them just weren't up to it, and they weren't really wanting to, but they stuck at it, and they were cheered on to the end. And that's what it's about, this encouraging each other. When we're a lap behind and yet we still need to keep going, that's when you need this great cloud of witnesses cheering you on, and knowing that Christ has gone ahead of us, our pioneer, the winner, our champion. Now that's given you plenty of time to think of things to say, or any questions if you weren't quite clear about something, but just to reinforce it from your own experience, really. Do we have any? I can't see any actual blue hands up. Anyone else is trying to come in here? I mean, another good thing to share is when you've had to help someone else, who's flagging in the race. Because that's what it's about. Duven, is it Betty again? Have you unmuted?
Yeah, it's quite a flippant comment, actually, but I was thinking about the journey being up a hard mountain or something. And I used to walk a lot in my younger days, and it used to get to the stage sometimes where I'd be saying, Lord, you pick them up, I'll put them down. Just got that desperate.
Yeah. Thank you. Who else have we got? Anybody? Oh, hang on, there's something in there. I don't know, Jackie, do you want to come in? Because I know you're trying to ask me something, which I can't quite.
I'd put it out in the chat.
I'm not sure. You came in slightly late, and you're saying you missed something at the beginning.
Well, I was in for the three questions, but I didn't have time enough to write the whole sentence down. So I've got three half sentences. What truth, what experience, what obstacles and challenges? I need the other half of the sentences, if that's okay.
If Mike could go back half an hour more and complete that. It's all right.
What truths do I need to know and receive? What experiences do I need to embrace and live by? And what obstacles and challenges do I need to be aware of and overcome?
You need to say it again because you're too fast, I'm afraid.
Yeah, can someone put it in the chat for us, please?
We'll try.
Thank you.
Just say it again, though, Mike, so that
it's
worth hearing again several times anyway. So it's important.
Okay. The three stages, that's unbeliever to a believer, believer to a disciple, disciple to an overcomer. What truths do I need to know and receive? Truth is obviously crucial. What experience do I need to embrace and live by? And what obstacles and challenges do I need to be aware of and overcome? And they may vary, of course, from person to person, your each individual situations.
Okay, I put them in the chat.
Stephen Bishop wants to say something.
Forgive the slight typing error, I had to do it quite quickly, but I think they're there now if you want to check them out in the
chat.
Thank you. Stephen, was it?
Yeah.
Can I just make a comment in terms that I understand the sense that we're all involved in a race, and certainly there are going to be principles applying to all of us in that race, but perhaps it needs to be clarified that the actual elements of that race for each of us is going to be different. So for instance, Mike, you were called as part of your race to be engaged in missionary work, but others of us are going to be called as part of that race to be in secular employment. Some of us as part of that race is going to be in leadership roles at church. Others of us in that race is going to be in other roles in church. So it might be helpful, do you agree, that, you know, to differentiate between the two and not therefore to get ourselves concerned about someone else, another Christian, being called to do one thing which we're not doing ourselves, but not to feel condemned by that, but to understand that the race which God has given to each of us, the calling which God has given to each of us, is going to be different from everyone else's, although understanding, as I say, we are involved in that race, and there are going to be common things which God is wanting to do in us and through us as part of that. But some of the outworkings are going to be quite different from each other. Is that a fair comment?
I think it's a fair comment, Stephen. I think that the reason I've shared this, I wasn't just saying run the race that I'm running. Obviously, the race that I've run and the race I'm currently running is having different challenges, different opposition levels than you, but it's no greater than yours, whether you're in secular employment or whether you're retired or what a situation you are. Each and every one of us, we've got a particular race that's going to involve some similar and some dissimilar circumstances and also challenges. But the challenge is where you are and in the calling of God and where God has placed you, there is this race to be run. And the obstacles that you have may be slightly different to me, but they're still obstacles that can both take us out of the race. The challenges that we have, similarly, they may be very similar, different degrees, but at least we have this same race to run in terms of running with our looking unto Jesus and focusing and seeing him as just the Alpha, the beginning of the race, and the Omega, the end of the race. And so I agree, Stephen, don't run my race, not the one that I am involved in, but the issues and the challenges that I face may be very, very similar to you. And those are the issues we need to work through and encourage and help each other on.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any comments or questions before we ask Mike to move on? I mean, I find the devil isn't always that sort of clever at inventing new ways of trying to disrupt us. So whichever race we're in, it's often the same sort of temptations and problems he puts in our way. And that's why we're together as church, as body of Christ, isn't it? Even if we're doing different races within that, we still come together as the body of Christ. Malcolm, do you want to say something?
Malcolm, yeah.
Malcolm?
This yellow box came up.
Yeah.
It's not totally relevant, but it just brings to mind something that Tony Pierce said a year or more ago, and that is that salvation gets you to the starting line. And that's when you really start to do the work, which, as Mike is saying, is a race. That's all I was going to say.
Thank you, yes. I think we'll hand back to Mike now for a bit more, because I don't know whether this is coming up next, but you're going to talk about the different aspects of salvation at some point, I think. That's better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, should we go? Can't see another hand up unless I've missed someone. I'll hand back to you for a few more minutes, Mike.
Okay. Thank you. Very helpful. Really good. I love to have the interaction, and same, we have to be through a Zoom. So what I'm saying is we're saved to run, not to sit in the stands. And I think that is the issue that's really on my heart. And Paul would remind us of that, because he says this time and time again, and Timothy as well, I've fought the fight. I've run the race, I've fought the fight. Therefore, you can sense in Paul that focus and that desire to really complete the journey that God has put him on, and to be faithful to those that he comes alongside, the churches, in order to share that with them and for him to be that example. So the race is really a process, and there are stages. Like in any race, there are stages that are important. Of course, in Paul, he brings this through. If you look at the teachings of Paul, and you can do this anytime through Romans and the critical stages that Paul brings in on this journey. I mean, from the condemnation, justification, sanctification, glorification, it all points through to a journey that Paul is teaching on. It's not about going around in circles or running aimlessly. It's actually running knowing we're going to get to the end. There is an end point that's going to bring amazing joy and delight. And therefore to experience and encourage one another in that spiritual growth so that we travel on this journey. But it makes me ask the question, and I think Malcolm's already done that by what he shared a minute ago, is simply saying, is salvation a process and a journey? And I've thought about this quite a bit. And obviously, as an overview of salvation, it originates in the love, the grace, and the mercy of God. It's the saving power of the blood of Jesus. It takes effect in our lives by the word of God, that's truth, and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the entry point of that, obviously, is repentance and faith. But Paul, again, in his teaching, and I love Paul's teaching simply because he starts often with doctrine, and then he goes into experience and the practical aspects of life. And I find this is so important, increasingly so, in today's church and in today's world. And Paul puts light on this. And as Malcolm shared, I think that if you look at Pauline teaching, he would say salvation is a process or a journey. And that, as Malcolm said, you're not saved on the day of conversion, but that's the beginning of that journey. And that he calls that, of course, justification. And then there's this ongoing journey, the second phase of being delivered from the power of sin, and find that this sanctification, this ongoing cleansing and changing, of being changed from one degree of glory to another, this process of being sanctified, that's a stage of the journey. But the final journey is glorification, when we're set free from the presence of sin. And so Paul brings these three things in. He said, we have been saved, that is past. We are being saved, that is present. And we will be saved, and that is future. And you can read this in three verses, and it's also woven through his teaching. 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, he says, God who has saved us and called us to a holy life. So he's looking back and say, he has saved us. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18, he says this, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. So in Paul, there is a continuation of that salvation. And in Romans 5, 9 and 10, he said, since now we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath? And so we have these tenses, which to me are crucial in understanding this journey. And I think if you look through John's gospel, and also 1 John and 2 and 3 John, as well as Revelations, you get this coming through. John 3:16, he says that about believing, but it's the tense is not just believe once, it's go on believing. It's a present continuous tense. And that's the way in which John presents the faith, the belief. It's not just a one-time event yesterday. It's ongoing. There is a continuation. That is the crucial, those who go on believing. And so what conclusions do I bring at this time is simply, yes, the Christian life is a process. The gospel is a way of salvation along which we need to travel to reach our destination. But it's not an instant event or a convenient, pleasant ride. It's a race that we run. It's a race we can grow tired of and give up in. It's the race that we can be tempted to pull out of. It's a race that we can be disqualified from. And so it's into this context that I think the overcoming issue becomes very crucial to us. And I believe it is to the Apostle Paul in particular, but also Peter and also the Apostle John. Because this is the focus that they bring, that one of overcoming, of being a more than a conqueror, that Paul would write about in Romans 8. More than a conqueror. And so on this journey, what that implies is simply this. This journey can be slowed up and stopped. And we would know it as backsliding. And these are some of the challenges I've faced in recent years, particularly in India, amongst the drug addicts and the alcoholics that have now become part of their own church and have seen so much happening. There is this constant temptation to go back into yesterday. Many of whom have had definite experiences of the Spirit of God, powerful moments, as in Acts 2, when the Spirit of God has come upon them and they have been prophesied and they've seen these men that have lived in the gutters in Delhi and other places for most of their lives now standing up as new people in God. But their constant battle is to go back into yesterday. And I see this more and more, not just amongst drug addicts and alcoholics, but also within the church and the challenge that's coming to us, the backsliding that can come in. And Peter would say, you know, to those who do that, it's better off that they've never known the way of salvation. That's 2 Peter 2:21. That's an alarming verse, an alarming truth that the apostle is sharing. He said it would be better off for those as if they've never known the way of salvation. Because righteousness increases responsibility. And these are some of the issues that this whole process that Paul is talking about. We have been saved, we are being saved, and there is a point, hallelujah, when we will be saved, completely new. But between now and then, there's a race to be run, there's a battle to be fought, there are obstacles to overcome, and there's an enemy trying to dismantle our faith and take us away from Jesus. To take us away that the focus of our heart changes from God to things of the world. I don't know you, you don't know me, but I know of myself, I am not excluded from that kind of challenge. To make me, I become the center. That's what Paul was talking about in Philippians 2. Everyone looks to his own interests, not those of Jesus. Becomes very much a me-centered. And these aspects can be so impact us in our stage of growth and journey and race that God has put us on. And above all, we stop listening to and obeying the voice of the Spirit of God. And another evening, we'll come perhaps into the beginnings of Revelations. But as you look into Revelations, of course, the overcoming theme is paramount. The word disciple you will not find in Revelations, but you will find time and time again the word overcomer, and that's significant. But it says this, and it's interesting, he who has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. And I think this is the crucial aspect. And you see, this is where the battle comes in. This is where the struggle comes in. It's listening to the voice of the Spirit that is so crucial. Otherwise, pride and self-confidence and complacency and tolerance to sin comes in so easily. And so into this area between justification and being sanctified and glorified, there is this constant battle that you are facing, that I'm facing. Many years ago, I went into Bangladesh to do church planting. I was invited to go in to help supervise a small church there in Dhaka. Obviously, a very strong Islamic community, extremely strong, having to be very careful. And by the grace of God, there were ones and twos becoming believers. And the biggest challenge that we had was how to keep these people alive after they've confessed their faith in Jesus, even from their own family. And so we get a sense that really brought home to me, thankfully, we're not in that environment. But there is a spiritual parallel coming, and is even more so in these days, which we need to be aware of. And into this whole area of running the race, this challenge, do not go back. Do not go back. That was the Hebrews' warning. I'll pick that up a bit later, perhaps. That was the whole focus on the book of Hebrews. Be careful not to go down the slippery slope that the world wants you to go on. These forces are pulling against you. One, you've got this tremendous power of the Spirit of God urging you on. And then there is another power, the power of the flesh, the power of Satan trying to drag you behind. That is the reality. And I know you're all mature, but we need to understand this and be aware of this, particularly when helping others who may be much younger in the faith than you and I. We need to be careful and help them. And so Paul is saying this. Paul is saying very clearly, this journey, be careful, there are no shortcuts. There is no shortcut from justification right through to glorification, and therefore we miss out sanctification. You won't find that in the Apostle Paul's teaching, and you won't find that in the New Testament. There is this challenge that God is putting us on to be overcomers, whatever we may face and whatever challenges we come across. And so I think it's important for us just to reflect and be aware and be constantly aware, as Paul was for himself. I don't want to be disqualified. There is a temptation for me to go back. I have one very good friend many years ago, as I used to go into Sri Lanka working with the church, the Margaya Mission in Sri Lanka, a very good friend who'd actually planted several churches. And he had a particular interest in Islam. and we didn't think anything of it at the time. But there's some things began to change in him, and having given his life to planting churches in Sri Lanka, he finished up as a Muslim. That really struck me so hard. It hit me below the belt. It was painful. How do you explain that to the churches that he planted in the name of Jesus? How could that happen? And I began to be aware, Mike, put up your guard. We need to understand the issues that we're facing and the challenges that face us on this journey. And it brings back the question, where are you? Where am I? What are the particular challenges we face? What are our Achilles heel? What are the areas we're strong in? But let's be honest, what are the areas we're weak in? Where could we? Where could you? Where could I come to a place of turning? What would be the cause of that? And so I don't want to appear, but I just want to be real with you. I'm not trying to bring a nice, fluffy, kind of easy list. These are the realities. We're living in this time. And I'm so grateful that the Far East has honed something in me that I wish I'd known so many years ago and hadn't been so flippant and so superficial in, that I could have helped so many more people. But that is the challenge that God is placing us on. So having seen these three stages, I don't know whether Paul, whether there are any comments on that. I'm not into theological disagreements. That's not my focus. That's no problem. The issue to me is encouraging that at the end, you're strong in the faith. That is the key. But these issues are important, I believe, for us to understand and to think through, even if you may not agree with them at this moment.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. It made me think back to what someone said earlier about Christian life being one of service and serving others. And this is part of looking out for each other, isn't it? Seeing where each other is struggling and how we can encourage them and just keep them on that journey, on that same path. So I don't know if people have got testimonies or comments about how they've been able to help other people, perhaps, who they felt were falling away, or, as you put it, slowing down, pulling out, stopping. Do you have any testimonies? Well, Monica and then Lynn. Okay, I've sparked something off there. Monica first, then Lynn.
Actually, I was thinking of making a comment before you said that, Paul, so it's not related to having a testimony. But as Mike was talking, it made me think of times when I've struggled and I've thought, is this, you know, I've been challenged and really struggled. And while he was talking, I thought about the verses, and I just looked them up. And it's when some of the disciples left Jesus and found his teaching too difficult. And it's in John chapter 6. From this time, many of the disciples turned back and no longer followed him. And Jesus said, you do not want to leave too, do you? To the 12. And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And that's what I've always thought back to. If ever I've struggled, I've thought, but where else shall I go? You have the words of eternal life. Where else can I go?
Yeah.
And that's my turning point. But where else can I go?
Yeah.
I recognize who you are.
Do you want to comment on that, Mike? Because I know you bring that verse in from time to time, don't you?
Yeah, I've got that down to take up a bit longer when we start to focus on that disciple overcoming factor. And those verses are very crucial, Monica, very important, because this, if you begin to look at the teaching of Jesus, not just in Matthew 24, but in other aspects, parables, etc., you begin to understand just the depth and the perception and the challenge that he was bringing, particularly to the disciples. Most of the really, really tough things that Jesus said, whether it was about hell or whether it was about the falling away, he was not speaking to the unsaved. He was speaking to his disciples that were with him and putting this particular challenge to them. So I think you're absolutely right in bringing this up, Monica. It's a very, very crucial thing. Jesus said, do you want to go away too? He was giving them an option. In other words, he was saying, actually, I'm not stopping you going away. That is your choice. I'm not sort of got a chain to you. Whether you like it or not, you're coming with me. He said, you have an option. And you can go away. And you can go back and be a Sadducee or Pharisee or whoever you want to be. That is your choice. And so I thank you for that, because it's such a crucial eye-opener to the challenge that Jesus brings to us.
Yeah.
And it really hits home very strongly and very powerfully.
So you might be coming back to that in a
yes, I will.
In the other sessions. Should we go on to Lynn? Lynn Wilson.
Mine wasn't actually about your question. My heart is nearly beating out of my chest because I'm just so thrilled to hear your word. And I just wanted to thank Mike for it, because we get such wishy-washy teaching in our church. We don't get any teaching in our churches. It's all poor me, woe is me. And to actually have that word that encourages us to face the things we're going to face is so thrilling. But picking up on what Monica said, there's a parallel verse, well, it's not actually parallel, but Mark 10, and I know the Lord challenged me very much once on that. It reminded me when Ruth left everything and followed and went with Naomi, and Mark 10, when they couldn't cope with Jesus's teaching and wanted to, many fell away. And it just encouraged me then, the Lord, will you fall back and know just to go on? So I just wanted to thank you so much for that word.
Yeah, thank you. It's real, isn't it? It's absolutely real. I remember when I first heard Mike mention this between the race and the ride, and it really brought me up short again and made me stop and think. And actually, I started to get excited again, thinking, yes, I'm in a race. And suddenly I wanted that. I didn't want the, I mean, part of me does, my flesh wants the ride version, but actually my spirit rises to the thought, I'm in something different here, and this is powerful and important. So it stirred me up the first time. And I think I shared this with people like Stephen, and that's to say, this is good stuff, we need to hear it more, because it made me stop and think, I don't want to go back in certain ways. I do want to go back, but I don't. So it's up to me. And one of the verses that we might have gone on to read in Peter is that these that do go back, they're like, the expression is like a sow returning to the mud, isn't it? Or a dog to the vomit sort of thing. There's all these temptations to want to go back into something we once found pleasant or easy and so on. But to realise that that is not an option, really. I mean, we've got to go on with God. And if we decide to go on with God, he helps us. So there is a strong positive side on this as well. The moment we keep affirming that we want to go on with Jesus, he's right there with us and the Spirit is there to help us. So it's a strong positive thing. It's something to be challenged by, but also to get excited by, yes. I think is what I'm trying to say in all that. Andrew Wiley.
Psalm 1, walk not, stand not, sit not, is a big help to stick by that we don't get tempted to go back.
Yes.
Yeah. Muted. I think Andrew Wiley has his hand up next, and then we've got
Mike, but thanks very much for all that you've said, which has been an encouragement and inspiration to me. I've been a member of a 12-step fellowships for several years, and I've got many contacts from New Zealand up to America and all points in between. And I've some of these have the same addiction that I had. At my first meeting, I said that I had a faith, but I would never ever shove it down people's throats, but I would never ever ignore it. And I've got several sponsors, and I don't, as I said, I don't shove my face down people's throats, but I always try and let my influence shine out that I'm a believer. And I think some of them know that I am a believer, that I have a firm faith in God. And it's good just to try and reach out to other addicts on the net to see what if they are in pain, and to try and encourage them, and to try and comfort and strengthen them. And for me, the journey is a challenge. It's exciting, but it's good to try and bring other people out of a toxic quicksand into a more firm rock. And my prayer is that they might take the extra step and really see God as a creator.
Yeah, thanks for that. That
will you be giving
go on, John, quickly though, because we had someone else's hand up. Just quickly.
All I'm going to say is, will you be giving any advice as to how to carry on in the Christian life? I mean, to keep yourself going on. I mean, it's, that's what I was about to say.
Is that a question to Mike? Yeah.
Yeah, anybody, if you like.
Well, okay. I want to come back to Jeremy in a minute, but I assume, Mike, that in the next few talks, there's going to be more.
Yeah, I think what I'm trying to do this time is to lay a foundation. We've got to look at very practical issues, certainly through Paul, but also the practical issues that relate to us in terms of how do we overcome, what are the issues, and what are the major things that come our way, whoever we are, wherever we are, whether in the Far East or whether in London or in Manchester, what are the challenges that come to us, the spiritual challenges, and trying to get to those. So we will be looking at some of these practical things. And but today, particularly, I wanted to lay a foundation.
Yeah, okay, thanks. Jeremy and then Betty.
Thank you, Mike. It's great to hear you. I haven't met you before. Thank you. I was struck when you were talking about repentance and faith by remembrance of a verse that runs something like, as you first began in the faith, so continue to walk in him. I'm not sure if I'm quoting that correctly, but it's along those lines. And also about the humility that seems to be needed as we continue to walk in repentance. Humility seems to be a part of this life, which is more important than perhaps we realised at the beginning.
Yeah, thanks. Do you want to say anything, Mike, on that, or...?
No, I just think, yes, it's true. I mean, because the thing that comes through above that is complacency and self-confidence. And once we get into that, then there are inevitable reasons, but also causes of that. So to walk humbly is a huge part in overcoming.
Yeah. Okay, Betty?
Yes, I've got a question for Mike, really. But first of all, thank you so much for straight talking. I appreciate it as well to have the message that so often we get the message that everything's going to be plain sailing. And my question is there a way back for somebody who has gone off the way in their journey?
It depends. Yes, I think there's always, Paul can pick up something about the unforgivable sin, but he can do that bit. But yes, I mean, we have seen this many times within the world that I've been describing to you with the drug world, the addicts world. We have those who've come in, found Jesus, gone away, come back again. There is this constant struggle. And I think that where the heart, it's the issue of the heart. And obviously, we have seen time and time again, those who thankfully have come back, but sadly those who've actually turned away, denied, and even come to the point of saying, I don't even believe that Jesus is the Christ. When you're getting to that level and attributing the things that Jesus did to Satan, then you're on ground which is extremely, extremely dangerous. But that is the severe level. But outside of that, there is a lower level where we have seen, and thankfully are continuing to see, those who've drifted away come back with genuine repentance and genuine faith and a genuine humbling themselves before God. Unfortunately, others who said, look, I don't even believe Jesus is the Savior. I don't even, and once you're in that territory, then that is very, very, very serious territory to go down.
Yes, I think that's explained it very well.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. We are coming towards the end because we've got two more sessions. We don't need to try and pack anything more in. But obviously, if there's another question, comment, hand up somewhere, we will take that. But I think we've had lots and lots to think about. And as Mike keeps saying, this is the foundation of what we're going to think about in the next couple of sessions. And again, if you missed out on any of the scriptures, Kit has been putting one or two more up there in the chat, that is. So shall we draw it to a close for today then, and say thanks a lot, Mike. And we look forward to the next one and the next one. And who knows, we're going to do a couple more after that, and it may well be that I'll pick up some points if needs be in future ones. Monica, are you wanting to come in again?
Sorry. Yeah, I just wanted to ask one little question. For me, there seem to be sort of more openings to share the gospel with people. And I just wondered whether you were going to talk a little bit about not just our own Christian walk, our race, but how we can, from the very, very moment of someone asking questions and you can see that the Holy Spirit is stirring them up, that they want to know more, their race is only just starting, and it seems like a lifetime commitment. If you see someone starting on that road, you don't want them to falter, you don't want them to find these obstacles. So I almost feel like it's going to be my lifelong commitment to keep with them. Are you going to cover that sort of discipleship?
I wasn't. Obviously, that's a very important topic and a very important issue, and one which I do or have done extensive teaching on within the Battelle communities. But I think that I hadn't particularly gone down that road to answer those questions in terms of reaching out to those. I'm thinking principally, I was thinking of you and I, and then having learnt those lessons, how we can then use that for helping others. So I think there will be a measure, Monica, when that will come through, but it won't be specifically targeting. But I think there will be things coming through which you'll say, hey,
I need to make note of that. That may be helpful. This may be very useful. I need to make sure that these things are communicated very clearly and understood clearly. So hopefully there will be something, but it's not directly and specifically working towards that particular question.
I think this is showing that the sooner we teach people at the beginning of their Christian lives about overcoming, the better.
Yes.
Rather than wait and wait until there's a problem and then try and tell them to become overcomers. It should be part of any basic discipleship plus course anyway, once they've got the fundamentals of the gospel, and not left to chance that maybe we'll do it some other time. So we almost, you know, be aware, as in everything that we're learning, to pass it on to others. That's what discipling is all about. So, okay, thank you then. Steve, do you want any final word on anything? Is he there?
No, not really.
Oh, you are there, but you don't want to say anything. We'll stop the recording then. I'll remind you of that. And...